Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is the Steve Jones Show on a Thursday. Matt Catrillo here with you. Steve will soon be there from the Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, lots of pre-owned inventory. And a great sales staff that's there to give you the exact car that you need at the right price that's good for your budget and not just so they can complete the sale. And they have a great service department ready to, or is prepared to help you with whatever you need for your current car, whether it's a state inspection, whether you need a big part replacement, you just need a simple oil change. That's why we love our friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Tom McCarthy today at 4:06 will join us. Been a busy man lately. He was on CBS for the first four. Actually, it was True TV, to be exact. He's been on Westwood One lately on the radio call for the rest of March Madness. And, of course, back in action with the Phils. So we'll get into a little bit of that with him at 4:06 today. And today is Pro Day at Penn State. Steve was there, of course, so he'll give up his observations once he jumps aboard here. And the only real surprise that I've seen so far is Jahan Dotson did not take part in the 40-yard dash. Neither did Jordan Stout, Tariq Castro-Fields, and Brandon Smith. Drew Hardlob did run today and looked like unofficially was right around the 4.3 or so. So that's a good start for him. I haven't seen anything official yet, so that could be wrong. And looks like Jaquan Brisker ran today. Again, no official times yet, but apparently one scout flashed a 4.4 flat, which is obviously pretty incredible. But I was a little surprised that Jahan Dotson did not take part in the 40-yard dash, and Steve even alluded to it yesterday, because you knew from his body language if you're watching the combine, and Steve's even mentioned it too, it seemed like he was a little bit unsatisfied with his time, which was still a terrific time, 4.41 at the combine for Dotson. So maybe he just thought differently. You know how these things go. Apparently he's meeting with the Patriots now, or did a little bit earlier when things ended. He did do some drills. Sean Clifford threw to him today. Apparently Drew Allar was there today as well. So let's look at vertical jump numbers. Brisker had the highest at 38.5 inches. Brooks, 33.5. Three-cone drill was done today. Broad jumps, Brooks had a 9.2. Those are some of like the main highlights that I've seen so far. So we'll see what else Steve saw from that today as the Pro Day wraps up for Penn State for the Pro Day with the draft. Only a couple weeks away from Las Vegas. Pretty intriguing to see where everybody's going to go. This is a good core of good prospects here from Penn State alone. So I look forward to that. And of course, Sweet 16, March Madness back in action tonight. You got four games tonight, four games tomorrow. Tonight you got Arkansas and Gonzaga at 7:09 on CBS, Michigan Villanova at 7:29 on TBS, then your late night cap 9:39 on CBS, Texas Tech and Duke, Houston and Arizona at 9:59 on TBS. So that should be pretty good slate of games. I like Duke tonight. I think Arizona takes care of business, but that scares me slightly. I do have him in my Final Four, because Houston's playing a lot better than I thought they would. So that's an intriguing game. I'm also intrigued by Michigan and Villanova. Michigan is... I thought they were good enough to win a game or two, but... And you never know with Villanova, but Villanova's just been so good that I think they do take care of business tonight, but I think that's going to be a dogfight. I really do. And Arkansas-Gonzaga is also really, really intriguing to me. If I'm a Gonzaga fan, or if you have them deep, I'm a little nervous for tonight. They haven't exactly looked smooth. Arkansas's a good team. They're playing pretty well.
Don't score enough. Literally, Arkansas doesn't score enough. They're not going to win.
I ultimately think Gonzaga will probably pull it off, but that one is a big one for me.
Arkansas does not. They won their two games and scored in the 50s. That doesn't get it done against Gonzaga.
True.
That's a big problem. Plus, Arkansas had travel trouble.
They did.
Yeah.
That's why I'm here.
That's why I'm here, you know.
Well, that was pro day. Dotson didn't run the 40, huh?
I had an indication he wasn't going to.
Okay.
He's just going to stick with what he has, and that's good enough.
And it's a good time. 4:41 is a fantastic time. I just thought he was going to give it a shot.
Hart lobbed at 4:31 today.
That was the official number. Okay, because I thought it was around 4:30
when I was following online. James was funny. Because I got the time from James.
Okay.
And he says, I'm able to look at all 17 watches, Steve, and come up with the number. I said, no. I said, you know. He says, it's that East Stroudsburg math.
I know that East Stroudsburg math. I lived there for 20-some years.
I said, I'm not surprised. I said, it's always a cut above. East Stroudsburg math.
You better believe
right.
it.
Yeah, so... Well, it was interesting because they were going by, and I think we're going to have... Did you line up Kim Jones for tomorrow?
I haven't heard from her, so I don't know.
Oh. Well, she talked to me today. I think you sent her a message, right?
I did, but I never got a response.
Oh, no, she's going... She told me she's doing the show, so I don't know.
All right.
You have to remind her. But you have to remind her.
All right. Well, yeah, we'll make that work.
Yeah, I feel like we're back to the suit days. Nobody got back to me. Well, they got back to me. Well, of course I did.
Because I figured she'd be in town.
Yeah,
that's why I reached out.
She's going back tomorrow.
Okay.
But, you know, no. But she wants to do the show. You just have to remind her.
All right.
So... Okay. Just thought I'd take care of that for you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Anything else you want me to take care of since I'm sitting here?
I think we're good. I mean, I got Tommy McCarthy ready to go. That I know for a fact.
There you go. Good. We got Neil Riddell today, too. So, there you go. You're just glad I show up. All right. Right?
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
I have no words. All right. I have no words. All right. So. Yeah, I mean, it went fine. I mean, it's the usual. Brisker ran, I think Brisker's right around the 4:45 area right in that neighborhood. Tariq Castro Fields didn't run. He ran high 4.3s in Indianapolis. What does he need to run for? He already put up a time. But Briscoe ran, and Briscoe did the shuttle as well. I don't think Brandon Smith ran. But he did reps. I know that. He is a... he is just a... You're talking about a guy that's just a great physical specimen. Brandon Smith. One day, Jack Ham was out on the practice field talking with Brandon. And he said, so what's your body fat? And Smith looks over him. He says, well, he says, it's right around 4% right now. I started looking at my hand, and I thought, well, I got 4% just in my hand. What the Oh, my goodness. Hey, what can I say? By the way, today is the 50th anniversary of what? Oh, this is going to take a while. You're not sure, are you?
I got nothing. I feel like I should know, but it's not coming to me.
Today's the 50th anniversary of the release of The Godfather.
Oh, that's why I don't know it.
Marlon Brando, James Caan, Al Pacino.
No, I'm aware of the figures. I've just never seen the movies.
Shire. Oh, why don't you get the kids? No, I'm just kidding. You don't want to do that.
That I do know.
No.
Yeah, like I said, I'm really, really bad with movies. There's a lot of movies I need to watch that I haven't seen.
Yeah. Yeah. Just thought I'd bring it up. You know, you have to somehow relate to the audience. All right, so...
Almighty!
We'll take a break. The Godfather was kind of like the inspiration for how the suit runs his segment at the station. No?
No, senor! No, senor! No, senor!
I tell you right now, I can tell you the person that wouldn't put up with it. I'm going to run it this way. Mercy, no, you're not. Not with me. She wouldn't put up with it. All right. The rest of us just sort of ignore it. We'll come back with more in a moment. Great to have you with us today on News Radio 1070 WKOK. I get this email today. And it's a mass email. It's not specifically to me. And as you know, I teach a broadcasting class here at Penn State. And it's mentioning that starting in the fall of 2022, any new or recurring part-time adjunct lecturer will be required to have a master's degree or a terminal degree. Any new adjunct or reappointment that does not meet the criteria will require a brief justification from the department head prior to offering a new contract. So you'll have to prove, like, whether you're like, okay, fine. You're telling me that some individual with a master's degree has 40 years of play-by-play experience? This is broadcasting, man. This is something you don't learn out of the classroom. I saw that. Look, you don't want me. You don't want me. I got another wife, okay? Which it's not going to, I know it's not going to be an issue for me, but I read this and I thought, a master's degree to teach what I teach? Really?
I just went through this job process not that long ago, and master's degree, it really doesn't matter to get a job in this field.
I looked at it, I went, wow, oh, thanks for the comic relief. I sat back and went, really? Now, you know, and of course, it's not going to really affect anything. You have to give a brief justification from the department head to the vice provost for faculty affairs prior to offering a new contract. Like, they asked me a question. I got 40 years of experience doing play-by-play. All right. if anybody with a master's degree could top that, I'm sure that I said I'd hire him too. I think I earned my master's degree without actually going after it. What do you think?
Sure.
We're here in the intellectual world. I'm in the real world. All right. So, welcome to the real world. I wonder if Joe Buck has a master's degree. All right. So, Jim Nantz. Did you get a master's degree at the University of Houston, Jim? No. No, yeah, maybe. It's an interesting world we live in. Oh, boy. And this was sent out to 15 or 20 of us or something like that, so it wasn't specific to me. But I just saw that and went, you got to be kidding me. Really? I mean, of all the courses where you do not need a master's degree, this is about practical application. This is not about, everybody take out your textbooks now. On a big play, get excited. Chapter 8. Oh, I thought I'd have some fun with that today. Like, really? Wow. Like I said, hey, I don't qualify. I don't qualify. Let somebody else do it. I'll sleep in. I got a game coming up. We're good. Oh, my goodness. Soon has his master's degree, doesn't he?
I'm not sure, actually. I'd have to ask.
Does he have a degree?
That I'm pretty sure he does.
Okay. Where's your degree from?
Clarion.
Same as John Calipari.
That's exactly right.
Wow.
In fact, Clarion's Tippin Gymnasium just got renamed Coach Cal Court this past year.
The wrestling coach there was Bob Bubb.
Correct. A lot because of good wrestlers came off out of him.
Because for a few years at a station I worked at, the news director was the wonderful Jill Bubb, Bob's daughter, who is a great pro and an even nicer person. Small world, huh?
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key was 11 and 15 Hummel's Wharf. And online at sunburymotors.com. 4 Kia Hyundai, best in new inventory. Great pre-owned inventory. With the Sunbury Motors Guarantee. And a fabulous service department. Where they take care of routine, inspections, diagnostics, you name it, they can take care of it. At Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15. Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. You notice the presentation of that?
In terms of...
If I had a master's degree, it could have been even better. All right, so...
I see now.
Sorry, certain things make me laugh. Okay. The Neil Riddell, Altoona Mirror. It is always great to have him on the show. Neil, welcome back. I know that we were kidding around earlier. We were talking about great heavyweight fights and the Bayonne bleeder, Chuck Webner, who was the inspiration for Rocky Balboa. in the Rocky movies. Neil, great to have you with us.
Hey, Steve, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. Chuck Wepner spoke in Altoona, I want to say 4 or 5 years ago at the annual Rec Commission dinner, and I had the privilege of introducing him and referenced that fight in Richfield Coliseum, and everyone was all anxious to hear from him. I mean, you talk about being part of the golden era of heavyweight boxing,
yeah.
Even though he didn't win a lot of those matches. I mean, the guys that he was fighting, Ali and Frazier and Foreman and mm-hmm. Ken Norton, Jimmy Ellis, I mean, we all wanted to hear about him, and he got up and he says, yeah, you guys have kind of heard my story. He says, if anybody wants to talk afterwards, I'll sign an autograph. He really didn't want to speak.
Well, in the world of exchanging leather, Chuck caught more than he gave out. So maybe that's one of the reasons maybe he didn't want to talk about it too much. I mean, when your nickname's the Bayonne Bleeder, that's not good. He's a big man, though.
He did tell a story about his wife made the trip out there, and there was some exchange where he said, yeah, you're sleeping with, you realize you're sleeping with one of the great boxing the boxers of all time. He says, if I want to be the great boxer of all time, I'd get down the hall where Ali was.
Oh, my goodness. Those great stories. This is obviously interesting times for Penn State. Sandy Barber's announcement that she will exit this summer in the job of athletic director. What did you think of the announcement and the timing of it?
Well, I think it makes sense. A new president coming in. Sandy was under contract for another year. But a lot of these high-profile positions don't get to that last year if there's a question of succession and whatnot. So, you know, I accepted that as reasonable timing, understood it at, you know, at age 62. I think she's been very stable at Penn State and has been, you know, good. I've enjoyed working with her. And, you know, when you look at the body of work, you know, kind of judge ADs on their higher profile hirings, and she hasn't had to make too many, considering, you know, Russ Rose was in place and, you know, James Franklin was already there and Cale Sanderson. So it looks like she did well with Shrewsbury and whatnot. But I thought she lent stability at a time when Penn State needed it.
All right. So now moving forward, you know, James Franklin talked in his press conference about what a critical hire this is. What are some of the challenges that a new athletic director will face in the current environment we're in intercollegiate athletics?
It's a tough place to be an administrator. I don't mean at Penn State. I think it's just in college sports in general. The transfer portal, I think, is really wrecking the model of college sports. The NIL challenges, and I see Penn State is starting to gather more momentum than maybe it has had there to try to keep up. It's funny, Joe used to always talk about keeping up with the Joneses, and we thought they were the Joneses, but I'm not sure anymore. I mean, you do have to keep up, particularly with the SEC. So I think it's a tough time to be an administrator, to be a coach. I mean, you have to recruit your roster almost every day. I wish the NCAA or the powers that be in college sports, the various committees, could get their arms around what's going on now. I don't know if you feel the same way, Steve. You're even closer to it than I am. But I think it's discouraging that the minute a kid hits his head on the wall, you know, his first answer is, well, I need to transfer. There are reasons to transfer.
Sure.
But I don't know the widespread exodus and threats to leave are always the answer.
And I say this with all due respect, Neil, to, you know, a guy like Charlie Moore, who's a very good player.
Or a guy like Teddy Allen, who obviously is a very good player. But Teddy Allen's on his fifth school.
Right.
Charlie Moore's on his fourth school. I mean, is that what I want in college sports?
Right. Well, how about Brockington?
Well, Brockington's on his third.
Right.
Yeah, he's on his third.
So he goes from St. Bonaventure to Penn State to Iowa State. And, I mean, you know, obviously he's a good player and he's playing well for them and he's having a nice experience. I guess it's toward the end of his career. I don't know. Does he have any more eligibility left?
With the COVID year, I don't know who has eligibility left, Neil.
Yeah, so maybe he can go to a four school.
Yeah.
But, you know, but he goes to a 2-17 team and a difference that he could have made here. And the legacy, look at the legacy that Harar left.
You know?
So you just wonder these kids who's advising them and what the college experience will mean to them.
And there's another element too here that needs to be, I think, at least brought into the conversation. The ratings for the NCAA tournament currently are up 12%. The ratings for the women's basketball tournament, by the way, to its credit, up 15%. Okay. And that, to me, that is not coincidence that you've got fans in the stands. And I think that, you know, all this movement all over the place, I think, gets the fans off balance. And believe it or not, you need them more than ever. At least that's my opinion.
Yeah, I think that is encouraging, you know, when, I mean, these last couple years. And, you know, there was Penn State that was really in a position to not only make the tournament in 20, but make a run in the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was glad to see Chambers, you know, get another opportunity. I know he, you know, I know he didn't handle things perfectly the whole way, but I think he, in a body of work, he did a lot of good things. You know, to have to go through 2 years of without fans and, you know, just what we've all kind of lived through, you know, I mean, I look forward to, a fresh start, hopefully, this fall.
All right, so let's get to a fresh start in the spring. When you look at Penn State football, what are a couple of, on your list of items, what goes 1, 2, 3 for you that they need to be on the path of taking care of this spring?
Well, number one, Steve, they can't have Probola and Vayu with the same number. You just can't. I mean, that's my number one priority.
Yeah.
You can't have, and even if Probola ends up redshirting, I don't know. But you got to have some decisions where these uniforms are taken.
Yeah.
I looked at their roster, and so that's going to be taken care of.
Okay.
I mean, I think they, yeah, James hit it. They got to be able to run the ball.
Yeah.
They got to be able to get back to being who we think they are as a Big Ten team that can get some tough first downs in the clutch to put games away when they have leads, which has been an Achilles heel, body of work, trend under James. You know, I was just discouraged last year against Michigan. You know, when you're going to trick plays, when you have a chance to get your crowd in the game and go up 10-0 against Michigan and really put a statement, you know, you're throwing the ball around with your kicker. I just didn't like that, and I think that was an indication that they did not have enough confidence in their offensive line and their running game to make the tough yards when they had to. So I think that's number one they really have to address. And then I think leadership. I think Dodson was such a terrific leader, and Clifford is too, but Clifford didn't necessarily he may have guys nipping at his heels. He has to play well. You know, I think leadership on both sides of the ball will be a priority. And Stout was a real weapon. You know, he's another guy that I think you really have to hopefully, you know, they'll have an answer there, you know, but I don't know. I think the whole place-kicking situation, punting, is a question.
Well, in fact, what's interesting about the kicking situation is because of what Stout did last year, that's three positions. I mean, that's actually three. You have to come up with three answers there. Now, one may be the same guy for two of them, but not all three. So, I mean, that's going to be interesting. The ability to run the ball. I even come back to it, you know, people talk about short yardage and so forth. But even something as simple as helping a quarterback in the fourth quarter, if you've got the threat of running the ball, you can run a play-action fake, and everybody has to respect it. And that's something that in the fourth quarter, you questioned last year whether if they ran a play-action fake, a defense would respect it.
Yeah, and this will be a big year, for Mike Yurcich. And there's been, a lot of change on the staff, and that'll be another layer of the whole communication. I mean, one thing is, James is developing a nice tree of guys. I'm real happy for Brent Pry.
Yes.
Thanks to see what he does at Virginia Tech. He certainly paid his dues. But, as far as the extension of the leadership from James, to a roster that is going to need a lot of inexperience.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. The influx of freshmen, you have, nine of them there, at least early entries. I see Dan Connor now every day.
Right.
But I think, if I remember, Dan may have been the first early entry Penn State had here, if I recall correctly. And we're all like, ooh, early entry guy. Well, now it's like it's incredibly commonplace, and you're almost disappointed when one isn't an early entry. It's like, oh, darn, too bad they're not here yet. But that's another element that has changed the game, the learning curve. And what can that mean just for the learning curve of the quarterbacks that you referenced, regardless of their number?
Yeah. I think the Big Ten change in the schedule, may affect that as far as the quarterback play. They really needed Clifford with the other schedule was brutal. The first half of the season, it was probably the toughest six or seven games that they've ever had, or at least back into the the early 80s, Steve, before when they were playing Alabama, Notre Dame, but even that was spread out.
Right.
So I think the fact that that became adjusted may leave more room for growth. They'll have to, I guess, pick one of these freshmen of who's going to, get more reps or who's going to be comfortable, with maybe running the scout team or being a redshirt. And I think, Bayou was impressive when he had a chance last year as well. So I think, that's going to be, a real storyline. Of course, we expect Clifford to start, and hopefully he'll play better than he has at times, in the last couple of years. And that's where a running game, the way Journey Brown ran the ball in 19, and the way they blocked for him too. I mean, I think that they probably are getting out those tapes and figuring out how they have to get back to that, because Clifford played pretty well when he had that kind of running game.
Always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Hey, thanks, Steve. Have a great day.
The Wardell Altoona Mirror. Great to have him on the show today. Before we continue, what complaints do you have, by the way?
I really don't have much today.
I mean, LeBron didn't play last night. You got handed that game.
They should win that game regardless whether LeBron plays or not, but it certainly helped.
They won by five. LeBron averages 30 a game. All right.
I mean, I guess I had the similar complaints I've had about them all year, is they got to tighten up the defense and all that. But, I mean, they still won the game. It is what it is. And New York City finally came to their senses, made common sense, and got rid of the vaccine mandate. So all's good there with the Yankees. So I'm good right now.
See, but your response there is not about health care. You're only about winning.
I'm about winning, healthcare, and common sense. That rule didn't have all three.
The Hall of Dopage.
Well, Eric Adams removed himself from that today because he finally came to his senses. Or his staff did and made him do it. Whatever it is, it's done.
That means until for the first 3 weeks of the season until they get to Toronto. When we get to Toronto, you'll know which players aren't.
Exactly.
Yeah, you'll sit there and go, uh-oh. That's a problem.
But that's only 10 games of 162, so whatever.
Yeah, but they'll get hurt during the course of the year like they always do.
No, señor!
I mean, when's the last time Judge played a full season?
Unfortunately, that is a good question.
And I'm only asking, I'm just asking it to ask. I mean, I'm not, just asking to ask, it's just, because I care.
I know you do.
I care. I'll get back to that. All right, so great to be with you today. Matt will come back. I mean, look, Matt, who, by the way, is the curator of the Hall of Stinkage, will come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Okay, the Cleveland Browns, who made their move to get Deshaun Watson, are now facing this story today. And it's quite simple. A second grand jury is now mulling whether to bring charges against Deshaun Watson. Now, again, Watson doesn't, he does not testify in these things, okay? It's up to the prosecution to present a case that a grand jury can bind him over for trial. Well, it's been confirmed that a second grand jury is looking at this now. And two women who did not sue Watson filed police complaints. 17 others are supposedly joining. Said 17 more depositions of Watson. He still has to take them as part of the 22 lawsuits that have been filed against him. Again, this is why you don't do this if you're the Cleveland Browns. It's not that he's not talented. He's a great talent. But I'm sorry, talent does not overcome something as serious as this.